Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Entitled Unfractured Faithfulness. Unfractured Faithfulness. Please stand for the reading. And open your Bibles or your phones to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3:22. It's in the Old Testament. Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah, and the part that I'm going to read is an acrostic poem, the last part of a poem in chapter 3. It's written in the aftermath of the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem. Jeremiah begins with personal suffering. He was a prophet that suffered a lot for being a prophet. But at the end of this verse, he brings hope, and that's what I want to read tonight. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. You may be seated. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Well, what does that mean? What is faithfulness? This is something the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about a lot lately. Faithfulness, not just faith, but faithfulness. When we look at the word faithfulness, it has three syllables. Sorry, the teacher in me just kind of comes out. Faith, full, ness. There are two suffixes, full, meaning full or full of, and ness, meaning the state or condition or quality of being. And then we look at the root word faith. And for that, we turn to Hebrews 11:1 in the New King James Version. And it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what you do on the way to your hope, according to Pastor Daniel. Faith is evidence when there is great devotion, great love, and great respect. Hebrews 11 goes on. I won't read the whole thing, but it goes on to talk about great examples of faith. By faith, that substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, by faith, Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. He didn't have to sacrifice him, but he offered. By faith, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and the bondage of slavery. All of that by faith, and many, many, many more examples. So faithfulness, it's the state of being full of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And remember, being full of the things hoped for, keep that in your mind. Scripture reveals our God, who is faithful. He is our model. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, it's written by Paul when he was in chains to encourage Timothy to be strong. But he says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. It is just who he is. God is faithful. Yes, and his faithfulness never changes. He demonstrates unfractured faithfulness to us, unfractured, perfect faithfulness to us. He doesn't merely act faithful. It's who he is. It's his character. Psalms 105 in the New Living Translation says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's us, guys. Not just Bible time, that is us tonight. That is us tonight. How is he faithful? Well, he's faithful to his covenant, which means promises. He's faithful to his promises. And the example that kind of came to my heart was Noah in Genesis. Noah was deemed righteous, and he found favor in the eyes of God. And Noah's faith set him apart for those around him, because Noah lived in a time when the earth was populating, and the more populated it got, the more wicked it got. And so Noah swam upstream in the culture that was happening at that time, all the evilness, all the wickedness. In fact, it was so bad that God actually regretted that he made mankind. But Noah was righteous. And so God wanted to save Noah and his family, and he commanded him to build an ark. He was to take his family, and you know the story, two of each animal, a male and a female. But think about that. He's in a place, probably, where he's not building a ship, an ark, above the ocean and dropping it down into the water. Like, he's having a lot of faithfulness because he's doing what God told him. But if God said, hey, Susie, in your backyard, could you build this huge ship because there's going to be a big flood and we want to save you, and I did it, and then all my neighbors came by, how do you think that would look? What do you think they would say? And Noah received a lot of skepticism about it, but he did it anyway, even when it might not have made sense to other people. But he did it, and you know the rest of the story. All of the animals came in, his family came in, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and everything in the earth was wiped out except Noah and his family and those animals. And so his faithfulness really paid off. He received a blessing, and they got to do a do-over in the earth when everything dried up, and it was really cool. And God kept his promise across generations to never bring a flood again. And he used the sign of the rainbow in the sky to remind us of that. So he's not only faithful to his covenant, but he's also has shown his faithfulness by sending his son Jesus. Think about that. Jesus, and we know this, but it's like, if you just stop and think about it and ponder it and meditate on it for a little bit, he sent his son Jesus into the world to save our sins, to die. How many of you have kids? I do. I picture that, saying, here, son, I'm going to send you to the world, and you're going to do some stuff for me, and you're going to get beaten, you're going to get mocked. It's going to be really, really challenging, and eventually you're going to get killed. You're going to die, but you're going to die for these people. I think about that as a parent. You know, when my kids would fall down, I wasn't a helicopter mom, but I certainly, like, would be right there and didn't want them to get hurt. But I think about the sacrifice that God made when he did that, that he sent his son Jesus to the earth to be our Savior. But Jesus was obedient. He came down. He did everything that God wanted him to do. He performed wonderful miracles. He taught. He raised people up, raised followers up, raised people up so that when he was gone, it could continue. He did everything unto death. He was faithful unto death. Hebrews 12:1-2 in the New Living Translation says, "And let us run the race with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." Now listen to this part. "The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." What a faithful God sending a son. What a faithful Savior, so faithful to us. The faithfulness of God is not merely something to admire, although we do. We're so grateful that we have a God that is so faithful to us, but it's something that we are called to reflect. It's something we are called to reflect. It's a reciprocal relationship. Our faithfulness is our response to devotion, love, and dependence on God. That's what our faithfulness is. It's a response. So when we accept Jesus as Savior, we put our faith in Him. We put our faith in Him, but when we accept Him as our Lord, we demonstrate our faithfulness to Him. Two little words, but what a difference. Having faith in Him and having faithfulness to Him are two different things. He needs to be both our Savior and our Lord. It's wonderful when we say, "Thanks, Jesus, for dying for me." But it doesn't end there. That's not the end of the story. We don't say, "Oh, thanks so much. See you later. I'm good. Fire insurance." Our actions have to begin aligning with the Word. We must begin to grow in Him. It's not just a matter of faith, which is a wonderful thing. It's a matter of faithfulness. A faithfulness. As a Christian, we have the gift of faith. Faithfulness is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we have that model from our Father. We have Jesus as our Savior, full of faith, and the Holy Spirit. Unfractured faithfulness from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, let's take a look at ourselves. Sometimes our faithfulness fluctuates. Sometimes it fluctuates. We use excuses. "I'm not ready for that. Nope. Yep, I know I just finished KSM, but you know, I need a little break. I'm not quite ready. I'm not really prepared. Nobody really got me ready for this or that. I'm not prepared. I need more faith. I'm praying for faith. I need more faith." Or even sometimes we teeter-totter. I call it teeter-totter. We're inconsistent. And I call that fractured faithfulness. So our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit demonstrate unfractured faithfulness. And sometimes, not always, we demonstrate fractured faithfulness. Fractured faithfulness occurs when there's a lack of faithfulness or an inconsistent faithfulness. Fractured faithfulness occurs when there's cognitive dissonance. I know, big word, but I thought it was pretty cool. Cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is when our actions do not align to our beliefs. So let me give you some examples of that. Let's say you want to live a healthy lifestyle, but you smoke. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just using it as an example. Smoking isn't healthy. So either you would need to change and not smoke, or you would need to change your belief system. Something would have to change. Let's say I want to be a volleyball player, but I never go to practice. So I either have to change and start practicing so I can really learn how to play volleyball, or I need to not be a volleyball player. Here's one more. We want to be a faithful Christian, but we might not prioritize attending church regularly to learn more, grow deeper, fellowship with fellow Christians. We might not grow by reading the Word consistently. We might not pray consistently. So we either need to change and commit ourselves to a greater faithfulness, or we change our beliefs, right? That can happen. I used to be the teeter-totter. I was a teeter-totter. Now, it hasn't happened for a long time, but I still remember, and I'm so thankful that I'm not on a teeter-totter anymore. I had faith in God. In fact, I've struggled. People say, "Well, when were you born again?" And I really struggled with, "Well, when was I born again?" Because I remember going to church with my boyfriend when I was 14 and giving my heart to Jesus. And so part of me says, "Well, when I was 14, because I had faith in Jesus. But then I wasn't faithful to him. I wasn't faithful to him, and that caused me to teeter-totter. 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 Well, what does that look like, teeter-totter? Well, it looks like 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. I was that person that during the week, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to be accepted by my workmates on the job, and I wanted to be the life of the party, and I wanted to be that, you know, fun person. But then on Sunday, I really did want to go to church and be full of faith. So I teeter-tottered, and I had 1 foot in both worlds. It was a lukewarm commitment. I wanted to fit in. I was really quiet about my relationship with the Lord. Unless I was around other Christians, then I wasn't quiet. Most people knew I went to church. So I used my Christianity as a convenience and not a necessity. Convenience and not a necessity. I wasn't a good example of a Christian. I had fractured faithfulness for a long time. Oh, I would tell you I believed in Jesus. I would tell you I go to church. I would drag my kids to church. I did those things on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, it might be a different story. Sometimes it wasn't, but a lot of times it was. But in 2000, I had a life-changing event, which really isn't important. But when that happened, that's the moment I was born again. Because that's the moment when I said, I'm done. None of this teeter-totter stuff anymore. None of it. I'm not. And I didn't look back. I sought his kingdom first, and I have ever since. And I began to wait on the Lord when I didn't know what to do. I would wait. Now, I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. So I'm going to share some things that God's done in my life since then. It's not a brag to anyone, not me at all. It's what his faithfulness to me has done. And it's my growing faithfulness to him. It's been a journey. It's been a relationship builder. And I'm sharing this because I want to encourage you to grow in faithfulness to God, because he is faithful right back, and it's reciprocal, and it works together. And he blesses us because of that. Oh, so I was ready to do whatever God wanted. In fact, some of you have heard me say this before. I said, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, whatever you want, Lord. Just make it super clear to me, because I've been driving this car for a long time, and I want you to be in charge. I want you to light my path. Just tell me what to do. And if I don't know, I'm going to wait. And since that time, things began to change, like so quickly. Miracle after miracle after miracle. True miracles that happen. I had prayed, Lord, I only ever just really wanted to be married. Send me a man of God. Well, what I meant was a godly man, but I said man of God. Well, he blessed me with a pastor. He sent me that godly man, and it was a miracle, because I never in my life saw myself, life of the party, as a pastor's wife. I never saw that. I never thought that I would be a pastor's wife. I just didn't see that in myself. But he sent that to me. What a miracle. And we were older when it happened. We wanted to, I convinced him, wanted to have more children. And that wasn't going to happen naturally, but God gave us Blessing. Now, yeah, her name is Blessing, our daughter Blessing, when she was 5 months old. And there she's sitting with her son. And that was a miracle that we were able to adopt her, a true miracle. He blessed us with that, blessed us. You know, later on down the line, he called us to start a church. Dwayne had retired. I was working at the school. We were going to church somewhere, and he said, start a church. Start a church. There needs to be a charismatic church in this area that we were living. And we're like, you know, Lord, I told you I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. We didn't have two nickels to rub together, because we were living on a teacher's salary with four kids at home, but I'll do it, Lord, I'll do it. And I remember pulling my piano into the living room, and we scraped up enough money for an overhead projector, you know, the kind with the film, you know what I'm talking about? And we started church in our living room with five or six people, including our kids. And just kept doing it week after week after week. And our faithfulness to God, not perfect, but our faithfulness to God, He blessed us. More people started coming, and pretty soon we outgrew that living room, and we were in another building, and then we were in another building. And 8 or 10 years down the road, still going on, God gave us the keys to a church that was paid in full on a full city block, no debt on that church full of equipment and furniture, everything we needed. He absolutely blessed us. We were blown away. I had attended that church as a little girl, and we kept in relation with the people that went there. They were all older, and it was slowly dying out. And one day, the guy came to me, and he said, his name was Bob Rowe, and he came to me, and he said, "Susie, you know, we don't have very many people left coming to this church. How would you guys like to have it?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? We were in a storefront trying to make ends meet." "Well, sure. Sure, we do." So we went up there, and 2 weeks later, they locked the door, gave us the key. We unlocked the door and had church, and they're still there today. There's a pastor. They're growing. It's been miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Yeah. You know, in my career, I've attained degrees to advance at work that I never paid for. "Susie, come do this. We'll pay for you to get the degree that it takes to do that." That's happened 2 or 3 times to me. It's been a miracle, because we weren't able to do that, but God was, and He had a path for me. He knew what I needed to do. I was hired for jobs that I wasn't qualified for. "Susie, we want you to be superintendent." I said, "I'm sorry, I don't have that credential. I've never done it. I don't have the training." And they're like, "We don't care. We'll pay for it. Just do it." Okay, I'll do it by faith. Prayed about it. We felt the Lord was calling me to do that. "Susie, be a special education teacher." Don't have the credentials. Never done it. I don't know how to do it. I never felt that it was me. Came home, talked to Dwayne, and he's like, "I think you're supposed to do it." I'm like, "Of course you do. Of course you do." Okay. They paid for me to get my credentials for that. I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on His faithfulness. I'm bragging on the fact that when we lay it down, when we say, "Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be more faithful to You. Lord, I want to have faithfulness to You, not just in You." He does miraculous things. I'm sure you all have a story about His faithfulness to you too. I moved up to higher positions, and all of that, promised I wouldn't talk about the school tonight, because I know when people look at me, they're like, "Okay, she's the school lady." But all of that, 40 years of do this, get this degree, go here and do this, yep, that prepared me for what God really wanted me to do. 40 years. And now King's Christian School Alaska exists, and He's used everything that I said I didn't really want to do but did, and it's working out well to help the school, and I'm so eternally grateful that I get to sow into our kids. I knew that I needed to grow. I needed to grow from having faith in God to having faithfulness to God. So here's the key question. We have faith in Jesus. He's our Savior, most of us that are here. There might be a few here, and you'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to give your heart to Him. But the question is, do you have faithfulness to Him? Do you have faithfulness to Him? Faithfulness is a steady devotion to God. And there's many areas, but I do want to highlight 4 areas that I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to share. 4 areas that will strengthen our faithfulness and our relationship, our devotion to the Lord. Number 1, faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness in prayer. You've heard Pastor Daniel said, how do we pray? How do we pray? Fervently. We pray fervently. So it's persistent prayer and fervent prayer that he calls for us to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's without stopping. Pray all of the time. Do you have a daily prayer time? You're asking yourself. Don't raise your hand, please. Just ask yourself. Do you attend early morning prayer? Do you set that alarm and get up and show up? It's hard to do. I didn't do it for a long time, but I've been doing it now for a while, and I love it. It's one of my favorite times of the day. For me, I made a goal for myself. It's just kind of how I work. It's like, okay, Susie, you need to do this. You feel like the Lord's nudging you. And I started off with, you're going to go at least 2 days a week. So I went 2 days a week, and pretty soon it's like, I think you can do three. I'm like, okay, I'll do three. I'll do 3 days a week. That happened about a year and a half ago. This year, I said, you know what? I'm going for 4 or 5 days a week. 4 or 5 days a week. And so during the school year, I did it. Now I've got to get back in and do it this summer as well, because it's worth it when we pray fervently and we pray corporately. That's the first thing, faithfulness in prayer. He wants that relationship with us. The next thing, faithfulness in worship. Now, there are many, many forms of worship, but John 4:24 in the New Living Translation says this, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's right. For me, music is just part of who I am. And so for me personally, when I am not in corporate worship like this, I like to listen to music. I like to sing music. I like to play music. It's just, I know, Minister Heidi, that probably resonates with you. It's just who I am and what I like to do. And so for me, I used to love to listen to secular music. Classic rock and roll was like one of my faves. I love Creedence Clearwater Revival. Anybody else? I mean, I loved listening to their music. But I made a commitment in 2000, and it's taken a while, that I don't listen to secular music hardly ever anymore, because I want what's coming into my ears and into my heart to be aligned with the word. And there are a lot of really great Christian songs out there. So I have kind of turned off the secular scene, and I'm into listening to just Christian music. And it's been a growing experience in faithfulness. And you think, oh, how does that really make you more faithful? It does. Prayer, worship. Here's another one. We need to be faithful to read, understand, and grow in God's word. We need to get into the scripture. You need to have a daily devotion time, a daily time of scripture. I didn't have that in the early years. I didn't have it. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. So we need to hear it or read it and hear it in our spirit. And that comes by either listening to a taped version of the Bible or reading it yourself. You know, in those early years, I didn't read unless I was at church and they were reading a scripture. I'd look it up and I'd highlight it and I'd do all the things. But now I've read through the Bible every year for the last several years, and I have a devotion. I want to encourage you to grow. I do it first thing in the morning. I get up, brush my teeth, have my coffee, and I read my scripture, and I do my devotion. And it's made a huge difference in me growing in my faithfulness to the Lord. So we need to read scripture. And finally, faithfulness in stewardship. Stewardship meaning gifts, our resources, our time. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, God has given each of you. So don't sit there and think, well, I don't have a gift. You do. You might not be using it right now, but we all have a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Join a team. Be used of God. Use your gifts. Join a team. Go to Native Fellowship. Go to Transformations. Go to Young Adults. Go to Children's Ministry. For goodness sake, if you have children, you should be volunteering in Children's Ministry. And if you feel a little convicted right now, amen, you should. We are models for our children. We must model for our children. And if we drop them off and go get fed, that's great. But we also need to give back. Our kids need to see us be leaders in the area that they are. So we need to model that for our kids. Join hospitality team. Join CERT. Join a team. Go to a life group. That's how we give of our time. We also give of our resources. Yikes. I loved Pastor Tim's message today on tithing and the offering and the cheerful giver. I wasn't always a tither, but thankfully I married a spiritual leader that has always tithed. So even when I was like, oh, things are really tight this month. Maybe we just give a little less. It wasn't even a conversation. It just happened. And I've learned through the years that you just do it because he never lets us go without. Ever, ever, ever. He just doesn't. He supplies all of our needs. That's one of his promises. That's how he's faithful. Finally, faithfulness and stewardess means attending church regularly. Regularly. Yeah. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Does attending church and prioritizing the fellowship hold a priority in your life? Or is it a convenience like it was for me? What is it? What example are you providing to your children? What example are you providing to your unsaved friends? What example are you providing to your unsaved relatives? When they see your consistency and using your gifts and your resources and your time, when they see you worshiping, when they see you praying, when they see you reading scripture, they will watch you. They're watching us. They're watching us. And we are an example. So our faithfulness grows through all those things and even more. Not because of religiosity. Not because of that, but because of our growing relationship, our devotion, and our faithfulness to God. It's about growth. Remember, faithfulness. The state of being full of what you do on your way to your hope. The state of being full of what you do on the way to your hope. And God rewards us for that. He sees our faithfulness. He saw when I made that decision to like turn the tide and quit playing teeter-totter. He saw that. That's when he started being so faithful and blessing us. Matthew 25, 21 says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. You see, when we're faithful, there's more anointing. There's elevation. There are blessings. He uses us in incredible ways. There's a deeper alignment and a deeper relationship with the Lord, and we are a better testimony to others, and that's what we're called to do, the great command. How we live our life, our faithfulness to him is what others see first, what others see first. So in conclusion, we live in a world. We navigate a world with broken promises, with unfinished commitments, with conditional loyalty, and with fractured faithfulness. Fractured faithfulness through cognitive dissonance. But God has been faithful. He's demonstrated unfractured faithfulness. He calls us to grow in faithfulness, to move from fractured faithfulness to unfractured faithfulness. And that takes action on our part. That takes action. It's something we have to do. But he rewards us for his faithfulness. So as you reflect on God's unfractured faithfulness, I want you to ponder these questions. And this is just kind of a time for personal reflection, because I've been reflecting. I never could figure out when I was truly saved, when I was truly born again. And through the study of faithfulness, it became very clear to me what I did. I never could figure that out. Now I get it. Not that it was right, but I've grown. So praise God. Praise God. So as you reflect on God's unfractured faithfulness, I want you to ponder these questions. Where has God shown faithfulness to you in your life? Through all of his promises. All of his promises. And where, because I know the Holy Spirit speaking to you, where is God calling you to renew or grow in your own personal faithfulness to him? Where is he calling? Is it you need deeper prayer, more devotion, more scripture reading, regular attendance at work, tithes and offerings? Worship team, could you come on up? And thank you so much. I forgot to ask you to do that. So right now, we're going to provide an opportunity for those that haven't yet invited Jesus into their hearts, because first we have to invite him into our hearts. It's the most important decision that you can make, the very most important decision, and it's a commitment. With every head bowed, let's bow our head. With every head bowed and all eyes closed at the prompt, I want you to raise your hand if you haven't asked Jesus, truly asked Jesus into your heart, but you're ready and you want to ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Or if you've drifted, if you have some cognitive dissonance going on and you want to recommit your life to him, you want to recommit your faithfulness to him. You know, 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." If you have something in your heart that's not God, that you have prioritized above him, maybe you've drifted, maybe you need to recommit. So if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, or if you've drifted and you need to recommit, on the count of three, please raise your hand. One, nobody's looking, all eyes are closed. Two, three. I see hands raised. Thank you. Thank you. Is he nudging you? Thank you. There's no shame in that. It's called total surrender to him. Total surrender. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need a Savior. So everyone repeat after me. You won't be the only one, but repeat after me. Jesus. Oh, we can do better than that. Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for my sins and you rose on the third day. And I am turning away from my sins. I ask you into my heart. I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.